Welcome to Ramblings from a Loft, a podcast without a theme, recorded in my loft. It's fingers in your ears time. I've only decided to do podcasts as well. Welcome to the latest Ramblings from a Loft. That's right, I'm going to do audio. So instead of giving up reading halfway through, now you can fall asleep listening to my dulcet tones. I thought that I might start off by reading all the previous blogs. I was going to say for the visually impaired that are unable to read what I've already done. But really, it's just to save me having to write a whole load more stuff just to get something to record. The good news is that with all this lockdown and virus stuff going on, I seem to have a lot more time on my hands. So, back to important matters. The new football season is up and running. Although watching our highlights last week, it's more of a canter than running. Best part was Harrogate Town. First game in the Football League and they stuffed Southend United. So a 1-1 draw and losing on penalties in the something or other cup the week before, although annoying, is not looking quite so shabby. This week will be the test. All well and good beating Southend, but they were rubbish last season, still having problems on and off the pitch, and still staving off a winding up order. I can't see them faring too well this season either. If Harrogate do well this week, it'll be more of a guide as to how well they might do. We are pushing the ball around the hallowed turf of Prenton Park this week, or should I say, lush new carpet of a pitch. I really do hope we do well at home this season. It can make all the difference. It'll be so different without the SWA filling the cop and being the 12th man. That said, we are only a few shy of 4,000 season tickets. That's pretty good considering no one knows when they will all be let back in to actually watch a game. Even as it stands with these trial games, only 1,000 are being let in. Although, if as was planned, 25% of the ground capacity get to attend when the dreaded R number drops again, then all of those 4,000 should just about be okay. What I'm really hoping for is that we actually score some goals. We've now got 4 else 5 strikers and as many attacking midfielders, so we should be taking the chances that are being created. It is encouraging that chances are being created, but we really must do more with them. But still no fans. All those teams that voted not to play out last season, as with no fans they couldn't afford to play, can't hear any of them complaining at the minute. Still, there's no relegation or promotion to be decided after just one game, is there? Unless they do it alphabetically, then we're down again. So, Macclesfield Town have been wound up by the High Court, with unpaid debts and no way of settling them. I bet there are others who are not too far behind them, especially with no fans and very little in the way of income. It'll be interesting to see how many make it past Christmas, if there are still none or only very limited fan numbers by then. It'll be sad, obviously. Tranmere so nearly didn't make it through the 1980s, so we've nearly been there and we know how sad and frustrating it is. We now have a chairman who not only loves our club, but knows what it means to the local community. We're fortunate that his job was rescuing companies, and so he and his wife have been able to turn the club around and get it on a sure footing financially. Even so, there have been casualties job-wise, as well as having to close the hotel. Let's hope this all slows down again and life can move back to a more what we call normal. It's not all about money. Yes, we need money to live in a comfortable way, but at the end of the day, it's about people's lives, their well-being, their mental health. We need to be there to help others through life, to encourage and support each other. To lots of people, it's just doing things a bit differently, but to some, it's hard for them to cope, not knowing what's going to happen, when they can go out, when they can see family and friends. It's very stressful for them, and they need support, encouragement, and care. Right, back to the mundane. Does anyone know how I can get rid of the ferny-type moss that has taken over my lawn? The lawn looks lush and green, but give it a couple of days and it's all small feathery leaves that are showing through, leaving the grass behind. I've sprinkled weed and feed. Didn't seem to do much. A few brown patches, but I think that it's killed off everything apart from the grass and what I wanted to kill. I even gave it a jolly good soaking, after I'd sprinkled it generously for the second time. But still it keeps on coming. I will not be beaten. I will see if there is something else I can try. I've got all winter, during which time it generally grows a lot less than the grass. The jobs list has now been retyped to make it easier to read after all the crossings out, cryptic notes and my wife's scribbled additions. I have managed to do a few jobs from the new list, so it looks as though I'm busy during the day while she's at work. I've even managed to do a few jobs that are not on the list that I've been meaning to do for a while. Schoolboy error. I should have written those on the list. Then I could have crossed them off and made it look like I'd done even more. But what I enjoy is when she spots that something's been done and mentions it. And I say, oh, I did that weeks ago. And it's taken her ages to notice. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but we had a rat in the garden a few months ago. I put a poison bait tray down a few years ago when we spotted one once before, and we haven't seen one again. That is until a few months ago. I checked the poison. Gone. So I put some more in. The rat kept coming back. It was eating the bits that had fallen from the bird feeding stations fixed to the wall at the end of the garden. It just went along the wall and then disappeared back again. So I got a trap. 2 days later I went down to check it. Result. One dead rat. So I set the trap again and made sure that the bait in the box was still topped up. Checked it every couple of days. Nothing. Then one afternoon I'm looking up the garden and there is a magpie on the path, on its side, with one wing up in the air, not moving. Great, I thought, a dead magpie. Then it moved. It had its head stuck in the rat trap. Brilliant. So I dashed up the garden and had to try not to spook it as I made to release it. I managed to get hold of the trap and squash the spring so that it could escape. It rolled its neck a couple of times, squawked and flew away. I decided then not to put the trap back down, as it was clearly a danger to others and seemingly not to the rats. Then last week, my wife and daughter noticed that the rat was back. It was fat and obviously an adult, and it wandered partway down the path. A couple of days later, I saw a smaller one in the roof of the garage at the end of the garden, and it was trying to get down to the bird feeder. In the end, it gave up and disappeared into the roof space. A day or two later, it was spotted again. This time, it had climbed up the wall and was hanging on the peanut feeder. It then made its way onto the feeding table and tried to get to the bird seed. When it went back to the peanuts a little while later, I went up the garden, shooed it away, and removed the peanuts. Now neither the birds or the rat can have them. It did come back looking for them, but it hasn't been seen since. We suspect that they are living in the brambly undergrowth on the other side of the garage block that purports to be a garden for the masonettes behind us. Well, thank you very much for listening to what I hope is the first of many ramblings from aloft. I do hope you'll come back and listen to some more another time. Thank you very much.